This is Patrick Gleason, and you've reached a higher level of Nerdvana.
Ladies and gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome to the podcast.
Robo fucking cop.
As far as I'm concerned, Bruce Willis can go get a bag of dicks. Get off my shit.
ConfessionsOfAMovieSnob.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is one of your illustrious hosts, Ethan, and I am joined in at least a crude manner. I am joined by my other co-host, Aaron.
Hello.
Aaron is currently sitting in a Kohl's parking lot on his telephone, looking like that creepy guy on his telephone in a Kohl's parking lot.
It's hot.
I know. It is kind of toasty out there today.
Especially in a car without air conditioning. It sucks.
Ooh, that's rough, man. Yeah. We'll try to put the nails in this as quick as we can. But today on the show, we're going to be gushing and talking a bit about this television show. And I know what you're saying. That's television. That's not movies. But fuck you.
Yeah, that's my fuck off.
Fuck you. This is a good show. Yeah. We're going to be talking about Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad's currently in its final season. Now they're saying this isn't its sixth season. It's still part of the fifth season, right?
Correct. I mean,
it's in its fifth and final season. They just broke the fifth season up into 2 years, basically.
Right. It's 16 episodes. They did 8 episodes last season, mm-hmm. and they're doing 8 episodes this. Or excuse me, last fall, and they're doing 8 episodes this fall. And the newest episode aired last Sunday, and the newest episode is airing tonight in a little less than. Oh, 5 hours, and I'm excited as a motherfucker.
That's Sunday night has become your TV night.
Oh, yeah,
so.
I love fucking Sunday now. Between that what's the Mark Strong show? Low Winter Soldier or whatever.
Low Winter Sun,
and I've watched exactly one episode of Talking Bad, but I like Chris Hardwick, so.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yep. Chris Hardwick's pretty cool. Yeah. I enjoy the Nerdist quite a bit.
I don't like the show, but I do like I like his podcast. I don't like the show on the BBC.
No, the show on AMC.
No, BBC. There's a Nerdist TV show on BBC.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, and I don't like it. But I love the Nerdist. Right. And I love Breaking Bad Talking Bad, and Talking Dead's okay, but I'm just done with Walking Dead though. So,
yeah, but in all, when we first kick this thing off, we do have a few geekly happenings we want to talk about. Since we last were able to get together and record, we've got a 13th Doctor.
Wow, lucky number 13.
Lucky number 13. That's right, and it is this British actor named Peter Capaldi,
yep.
Who has been in numerous things.
Yeah, actually, one of those, I don't know if you heard it or if you realized it or anything, but he was actually just in the in this summer's World War Z, and he played...
I'm sorry, he's the 12th Doctor,
the
not
12th
the 13th
Doctor. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with me? I just went along with it. But he was in this summer's release of World War Z, and he was a mm-hmm. doctor at the World Health Organization. So he is
yes, he was
Doctor
a
Doctor
Who Doctor.
Yeah, it's so you got that going on. It's kind of fun. He is a I don't know. I'm not the kind of person. I'm not gonna judge before I see it. But you know, I need to get caught up on my Matt Smith. I am kind of going through. Being stubborn, and I haven't watched the second half of the newest series because I have that and the Christmas episode, and he's gone. And Matt Smith is my favorite.
Well,
Matt Smith.
You've also got the anniversary episode coming out.
Well, there's not much left, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, and actually, we haven't watched. We're getting Rowan all caught up on it, and we just watched the first half. The next episode we need to watch is the Christmas episode from last year.
That was a badass episode. That was such a good episode.
With the snowmen, the attack of the snowmen.
Yep, that's such a good one.
And then we'll get in episodes that we haven't seen yet. So
yeah, I haven't seen any of those yet, and I'm going to. I just been mm-hmm. stubborn about it. But I have. I don't know if I've talked about it on the show, but I have you know, since, you know, come to terms with Matt Smith is my favorite Doctor. I love what he brings to the role.
He's fantastic.
He's so good. He is so good.
I'm dearly going to miss the guy. And there are a lot of people who are, you know, pissed off. And obviously, whoever they announce for the next Doctor is always going to come with this this backlash of, oh, you chose this person. Aw. It would have been so much better if, and yeah. Then everyone has their opinion.
It's not who was perfect in my mind. Why isn't it Benedict Cumberbatch? I'm like, yeah, I love Benedict Cumberbatch, but, you know, A, his movie career is blowing up. B, he's already in Sherlock, and, you know, I mean, just all like,
yeah.
You know, it's just, I get it, but at the end of the day, you're just not going to be happy because, you know, we have to learn to grow and love these characters. Like, you know, like, yeah, everyone's mm-hmm. all kind of weird about Matt Smith, and then they grew to love him, and everyone was kind of... I don't know if there was really any weird switching over to Tennant, because, you know, we only had Eccleston for, what, 12 episodes, or was it even
yeah,
that many?
Yeah, only for a year, yeah, about 12, 13 episodes, something like that, yeah. But, you know, it's people get so ingrained or really invested in the character and the Doctor that they love and the next one. Rather than, I've always been this way, is rather than be upset about who the next guy is, well, one, there's fuck all you can do to change it.
Yeah.
So, two, you best accept it and enjoy the fucking show.
Yeah.
Three, we said it when Matt Smith was announced, I'll say it fucking again, in Moffat we trust.
Yep.
The guy's got a vision, the guy has an idea. I think this is a great new direction to take it. You're going with an older guy this time. Yep. It's like, okay, that's great. We've seen the younger ones, now let's see what you go with the older ones. I want to see what new stories we can tell with this new formula, this new guy. You know, I'm excited to see where they go with it, to be perfectly honest.
I am too, because... It seems like, and I might be wrong, but it seems like they're going to go a comedic direction with him, because Peter Capaldi is I hesitate to call him a comedian. I mean, he is, but, you know, he's mm-hmm. like one of those actors that does comedy really well, but he's a contemporary of Craig Ferguson. He was in mm-hmm. he was in Craig Ferguson's fucking band. I mean, so I mean, that's what I think about when I think of this guy. Now, granted, I'm not particularly familiar with him. I've seen him mm-hmm. and stuff, and I've watched stuff, you know, since it's been announced. But he does come across kind of like Craig Ferguson with the dark side. I mean, but Craig Ferguson very much has. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, this isn't, you know, like Matt Smith. There was very little to go off of. But, you know, this guy, there's plenty to go look at, and I'm super curious to see what they're going to do with how he's going to portray the character. I'm super curious, like, I'm kind of curious about what he's going to wear, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, Matt Smith had his fez and his bow tie, and Tennant had his suit, and Eccleston had his, you know, fucking leather jacket, and, you know, I mean, it's just cool stuff. I'm excited to see what happens.
Oh yeah, I want to see where they go with it, and you know, it's with this different direction, and I think they're going to change the overall formula of the show, be more comedy, whatnot. I mean, there's always been some great comedy in the show.
To be comedy, I mean, I don't expect the Benny Hill theme to pop up.
I think definitely going with this older actor, you're going to be cutting back a lot on that heartthrob type of a Doctor. You know, you know, I'm going to pine after this guy because he's cute and he's young and da-da-da. Well, it's like, well, okay, now we're going to go back to this older sort of Doctor and we're going to see where they go with that. And maybe he's going to take much more of a fatherly approach or sort of that, really, that eccentric uncle type of, you know, thing.
I would love it if we get a couple of seasons there where we're not dealing with a companion that's wanting to fuck the Doctor. That'll be fantastic. You know, because
that would be nice.
That just drives me nuts. I mean, that's why I'm less inclined to. I mean, I love David Tennant. Don't get me wrong, but he spends his whole entire time distracted by Rose, and I hate that shit.
Yeah.
And you know, at first with Matt Smith, it was kind of annoying because, you know, Amy Pond was after him, but when Rory came in the picture, and it was more about those two, and you know, and then they had everything going on in River Song, and it's just all like it's all crazy stuff, but. I would love to see a companion that isn't trying to get in the Doctor's, you know, jump the Doctor's TARDIS, so to speak.
Yes. Yeah, definitely interested to see where they go with it, and I'm excited about it. And, you know, I mean, I've been enjoying the show ever since I fucking got hooked onto it, obviously. So it's like, you know what? I'm excited to see where they go with this new one, I think. And some people will eventually come around, and in about 4 or 5 years, when he steps down, people will be like, no, I fucking love Peter Capaldi. What the hell, man?
Peter Capaldi, and
he's the best doctor. Oh, God. Yeah. And it's like, oh, just fucking, whatever. Yeah, just, okay.
You know what I mean? I guess it's good because people are passionate about this stuff, but... You know, I mean, that's one of the great things about Doctor Who is it has mechanics built into the show to where it can go on for fucking ever. It's already been on for 50 years. You know, granted, there's, you know, some big gaps in there, but, you know, over the course of there are some doctors that I don't like. There's some doctors everybody don't like. And if it so happens that a contemporary doctor I don't like, then fine.
It took a little break for 15 years, but who gives a shit? You know, it's still a long fucking living show. Yeah. Peter Capaldi, new doctor.
When will we see our first actual full Peter Capaldi episode? I know that he'll be in Smith's last episode after the regeneration. But when are we going to see the newest stuff with him with his first full episodes? Do we have any idea about that?
I know he is filming his new episodes this starting to film his new episodes this fall. I'm not sure if they've come out and said when the new episodes are coming out, that sort of thing.
Am I wrong, but wouldn't it be next Christmas?
Let's see. Well, in all likelihood, but they would be taking a year off if they did that. No, and I would guess they'll probably, if they're filming this March, they'll probably see the Doctor come, you know, some new stuff, probably summertime, I would guess, be perfectly honest. So I don't think they've made any firm announcements on it quite yet. If they have, they're keeping that under wraps.
Now, I have a horrible, horrible, horrible memory when it comes to Doctor Who. Like, you know, I can like nail down like what I was thinking, like when they announced that, you know, Count Dooku was going to be a Star Wars or whatever. But like for some reason, my mind has like this hole in it with Doctor Who. When did they, like, before the newest stuff with Matt Smith came out? Did we know that he was going to be wearing a bow tie and shit, or did that happen on the show? I mean,
no, it happened on the show.
I mean, we never saw the bow tie before the show. Like we're not going to know what he's wearing.
Right, okay. And they didn't. They did publicity shots of him with the TARDIS, but it was just Matt Smith in just some clothes. It wasn't his final look.
Okay,
no, he wasn't naked.
I know that I saw a picture, and I think your sister put it on Facebook, which I recently quit. But it was on Facebook. Your sister put a picture of him up standing in front of the TARDIS, and he was wearing an old man sweater. And I really liked the look. It was just like this badass puffy old gray sweater. I like that, and I kind of wanted to do something like that, but I guess we'll have to see, you know what is going to be the newest the nerd clothing, because, you know, now everyone, I mean, you see fucking bow ties everywhere now. Have you noticed that? I guarantee you it's got at least something to do with Doctor Who, at least something, probably almost everything, because bow ties are cool.
Yeah, I see the picture you're talking about, and he's got a, like, sort of like Mr. Rogers type of look.
It's a cardigan. It's like a gray cardigan. It's
yeah, and a bit of a scarf. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. Yep. Quite honestly, I'm excited about it. Honestly, I'm looking forward to see what they do. Be perfectly honest.
And I don't give a shit if they cast a dog. I'd be excited to see what they're gonna do because I love the show.
Yeah,
you know, I unapologetically love the show, and you know, I don't care what they're gonna do because, again, it comes down to in Moffat I trust. You know, because, you know, I the Doctor I trust. I mean, it's just gonna be cool shit, and if I don't like it, it'll turn cool again. If it doesn't turn cool again, there's still the shit that I do like. So it's just a good situation. People, deal with it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I'm not sad that Matt Smith's leaving.
No. But all in all, that's that. Do we have any other? I mean, other than the breaking news about Doctor, do we get from that breaking news to Breaking Bad?
Well, I mean, are we going to talk some Lex Luthor? Maybe talk some Vin Diesel, talk some stuff like that. I mean, again,
Groot.
this shit cracks me up, Ethan.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we were talking about it two shows ago. You know, I mean, it's been, God, at least a month ago, probably more like 6 weeks, 2 months ago, that Vin Diesel announced that he was going to be in a Marvel movie, but he wasn't allowed to say what it is. And we were talking about how everybody said it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to play the Vision, or is a foregone conclusion that he was going to play the voice of Thanos, or is a conclusion that he was going to be Ultron, or, you know, and we're just all like, no, that's not what foregone conclusion means. And this week, and it's still not officially confirmed.
Right.
Almost. But it looks like Vin Diesel is going to be portraying the voice of Groot in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie coming out next summer.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to me, I don't know Groot from a hole in the ground. And I've seen pictures of him. I've seen him before, but I don't know anything about him. But it strikes me as, you know, along the lines of what I was thinking. Because, you know, there was, you know, crazy shit coming out where the people say, oh, he's going to play Ant-Man, or oh, he's going to play, you know, Black Panther. And I'm all like, why would they be casting for a movie when they're still making all these other ones? And so I was thinking that it had to have something to do with maybe Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers 2, or, you know, and it's turning out to look like that. But basically what happened is Vin Diesel, a few days ago, maybe even up to a week ago, he tweeted, "I am Groot," which is apparently this character from Guardians of the Galaxy's, I don't know, I guess that's what he says. And then on his Facebook page, he just posted a picture of Groot. And there is no official word from Marvel. There's no official word from Vin Diesel. But they were talking to him in an interview. And I don't have it in front of me. And I don't know how well I'm remembering it. But they were asking about it. And he says that he cannot say. And then he goes on to talk about how he's really busy. How he's, you know, he's promoting the Riddick movie. And he's got something else that he's working on. And how he would be too busy to, like, be, you know, like Captain America. And I know what I'm saying is he'd be too busy to commit, like, you know, 3 months to a Marvel movie, you know, right now. But he is able to go in and knock out the voice work in, you know, a short time. And so it does really point to him playing a voice. And the whole thing with I Am Groot and the pictures, I mean, it's everything but confirmed as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think the general BS that floats around on the internet gets annoying, and it's like that whole it's got to be this, he's this, blah blah blah. It's like, okay, guys, don't get all pissy when that's not what it is, you know. But yeah, it's Groot, great, okay, it makes sense. He's gonna be doing voice work, you know. I mean, sure, it's Vin Diesel's got his. Yeah, he's got a fantastic voice. Vin Diesel's got his fans that are obviously wanting to go for, let's get this whole, you know, let's get him into, let's get him the Ultron, let's make him Thanos, things like that. And I'm sure there are fans, I'm sure he wouldn't mind being in on that sort of thing, but, you know, he's busy making Fast and the Furious 12.
Yep, and Riddick 4, and, you know. I'd like to see, you know, the Iron Giant 2 would be an awesome thing if he did it. But, you know, that's the whole thing about it is, you know, he's going to be in a fucking Marvel movie. So what if he's not Ultron or the Vision or Thanos, or, you know, he's in a Marvel movie, you know, count it as a victory. And then, and again, you know, like I think I've said it before, that there's so many of these characters and there's so many of these movies, you're bound to not like some of them. And if you don't like it, move on. I don't need to read a 700 page, you know, explanation of why it's a horrible idea and why it's raping your childhood. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just adding, and it makes sense. You know, it's like he's doing voice work. That's great. Great. Good on him. Yeah. Good on him. Good. I'm happy to see him come in there. Now, Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor.
You know, this is floating around the internets quite a bit. Obviously, nothing's been confirmed. Nobody's saying anything, but, you know, they're saying, "Oh, Lex Luthor in the next Man of Steel." Mm-hmm. Lex Luthor in the Man of Steel, and who's gonna play him? Who's gonna play him?
I'll do it.
What? I think what they're I'll do it. We'll shave our heads. We'll do it. And be fine. I think pretty much everyone's going, all right, who's cool and who's bald?
Yep, that's and I've complained about this recently, you know, where I said that, like, it's weird to me that nobody can seem to get their head around the whole bald thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just all like, shave their head, they're good. Because everyone's like, oh, it should be Billy Zane or, you know, Patrick Stewart or all these fucking Kojak, you know, Telly Savalas. And, you know, just all like,
yeah.
Fuck's sake, people. It takes 10 minutes to shave a head. But, and so, you know, you're hearing all that. There's a lot of people still in the Rosenbaum camp. And
yeah, I'm just like, that will never happen.
As soon as it doesn't happen, I win $5 in a bet. I can't wait.
Yep.
But so I guess again we're getting into to the rumors, but there's two names that won't go away. I mean, there's names that pop up, and then the people are like, "Oh, they didn't talk to me about it." But there's two names that aren't going away because people. Apparently, these people are actually, you know, talking about it, and the two people are Mark Strong and Brian Cranston.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this gets into who's you know who plays Badwell and who's bald. But you know, I guess I can forgive it because I do really like both those actors a lot. Now, in terms of Mark Strong, he was recently doing an interview. I believe it was with MTV. And they asked him, and his quote was, I can't say anything right now, but watch this space. I don't know what that means at all, whatsoever. But, you know, it strikes to me that at least something's going down. And
yeah, that they might be. I mean, obviously, if Luthor is in the next one, they are talking to actors to do it. And they probably have a wish list. You know, they probably have a list of, these are guys we'd love to see.
And
it's that whole, okay, let's talk. Type of thing. Yeah.
Zack Snyder said that he would like Brian Cranston. I'm sorry, he said that he would like Mark Strong in the role. And then mm-hmm. there's the whole, you know, there are people that are, you know, like, oh, you know, that's horse shit because he played Sinestro, so he can't be Lex Luthor, and fuck that noise. I loved him as Sinestro, but I would love to see him as Lex Luthor. I mean,
I think that would put definite nails in the coffin of any sort of. Yeah. Follow up to Green Lantern.
Yeah, or he could play both. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
And you know what? If there's an actor out there that's versatile enough that messes with their looks enough, that does something different with their voice enough, it's fucking Mark Strong. So
yeah,
see what happens with that. It'd be interesting. But I'm sure they won't do that. And then there's Bryan Cranston, another one of those who's badass and bald. Obviously, we're going to be talking about him here in a bit with Breaking Bad, but they talked to him. And he said that he would like to do the role, but he would like to do the role differently than anybody. He would like to portray him as a quote lovable, sweet Lex Luthor. Now, what he means by that, I do not know, but I do know that Bryan Cranston is a fantastic actor, and if they announce him over Mark Strong, I'd be okay with it. But
oh yeah,
I like both the choices, and neither of them would you know make me mad if the other one got it. I mean,
No.
You know, the only name that would make me mad would be Rosenbaum, and that's just because I'd lose $5 to an idiot. But
yeah,
you know, we can't have that. Now, where do you stand on this? Do you have a point of view? What do you think?
I think both of them are great choices. Both of them would bring a difference to Lex Luthor. I think. Mark Strong would bring in, and he could be really, really menacing and really physical, and bring that, you know, sort of power and hey, I'm just this great businessman thing. But I almost would really want Bryan Cranston to do it because I'd want to see what he could do because he has that fatherly, you know, that really, you know, you kind of like him just because he just seems like such a sweet guy. But then, you know. Obviously, being influenced by Breaking Bad, he turns on the Walter White button, and he's a scary. He turns on the Heisenberg button, and he becomes a scary motherfucker. And I would be much. That's the Luthor I would want to see of this guy in the public eye doing his thing, saying, "Hey, you know, I love this city. I'm this great guy. I'm doing all this stuff." But in private, he fucking turns that on and becomes like, "Motherfucker, I will fucking kill you."
Yeah.
But that type of thing of saying, I will kill you without saying that he will kill him, you know? Mm-hmm. But there's nothing coming away from Mark Strong. I fucking love Mark Strong. I would love to see what he brings to it. I think he would bring much more of a physicality to it and much more of a physical menace type of thing of, you know, I'm like gonna unleash the rabid hound and I'm gonna fucking chew your face off. But it's just two different acting styles, two different types of actors. I think, you know, to steal from Alien vs. Predator, or to not even for, to sort of put a twist on that, if it's down to these two guys, whoever gets it, we win.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, shit, they're both fantastic, and they both do a fucking great job.
Yeah.
So
I guess here's where I am. Gene Hackman is easily in my number 10 all-time favorite actors. I love Gene mm-hmm. Hackman. I really enjoyed seeing him as Lex Luthor. It was fun. However, I'm sick of that Lex Luthor. I sure. think that the and I am unlike Ethan. I hated Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor. I thought he was awful, and he could have done it well. He just didn't. Oh well. Mm-hmm. But
sure.
I've been drooling for the, you know, the richest man in the world, Bill Gates type Lex Luthor, ever since, you know, we got Clancy Brown as Lex Luthor and, you know, in the Superman shows and Justice League and shit like that. That's the Lex Luthor that I want to see. And I just, you know, I love Bryan Cranston a lot. I think that he could do the role. I think he could do it well. But I just can't get my mind around the idea of what Mark Strong would be able to bring to the role. He's got, I can't even put my finger on it, but he's just got this quality that, you know, I mean, I don't know if exotic is the right word. I don't know if asshole is the right word or menacingness is the right word. And, you know, because I don't know, Mark Strong just, you know, in Idol is more threatening to me than Bryan Cranston. You know, Bryan Cranston, you know, he comes across as a really, as a nice guy, as a lovable guy. And, like, you know, it's a testament to how good of an actor he is, like, when he pulls out the Heisenberg shit in Breaking Bad. But
yeah.
I said this to you before the show, he's had 5 years to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that with Mark Strong, you would get a better prepackaged Lex Luthor.
Yeah, and I think with Bryan Cranston, you would inevitably be thinking it's Walter White as Lex Luthor.
Exactly.
And that's what you would expect. That's what you would expect. And if I were him getting that role, I would not do that. You know,
that's why he would have to play him as lovable. And
yeah.
You know, so I mean, again, whoever gets it, we all win. Like, you know, but for my money, Mark Strong makes more sense. But
yeah.
You know, at the same time, I'm fine with that. But if we're just getting into dream casting, I would love to see, like, once they you know start getting into the new iteration of Batman, I'd like to see Bryan Cranston as Gordon. That would rule.
Oh yeah.
That would you know that to me is a no-brainer. But you know, like the Lex Luthor Bryan Cranston, to mm-hmm. me there's like a little bit of mental gymnastics going on in my head to make it work. But you know it's the same thing with I think that Mark Strong would be a no-brainer for Lex Luthor. I think that Bryan Cranston would be a no-brainer for Jim Gordon, and he's also already played him in Year One. So
yeah.
And we know that he did that really well. So
well, you know, of course, speaking of Batman,
you
get into Christian Bale as Batman, that article that you found that you sent in,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is any of this has been officially confirmed.
It hasn't been officially confirmed.
So I mean, this could just be internet bullshit, obviously. Well, but
yeah, I mean. I don't even know where it originated. Well, here, I don't know where this story originated from, but, you know, it came down that Warner Brothers is, you know, heavily trying to get Christian Bale to return to play Batman in the Batman-Superman movie. And they said that, you know, they're trying to entice him with $50 million. Now,
mm-hmm.
We can't get confirmation from either Christian Bale or Warner Brothers on that, and some people have done a little bit of digging, and they seem to have traced it back to an article in a book that was called, I want to say, Beginning Batman, I think it was. It was when they're talking about the Nolan trilogy, and there was an excerpt in it where they said, you know, why wouldn't Christian Bale want to be in this movie, you know, when it's possibly going to be like the second or the third highest grossing movie of all time. And, you know, even if he was in it for, you know, 5 minutes, $50 million would be worth it, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So mm-hmm. it's got dubious sources at best, and everything official that we're hearing so far is that they're searching for somebody in their early, late 30s, early 40s. And then at the same time, there's also, you know, like Tyler Hoechlin they're talking about, and he's 25. And so right now it's all up in the air, but I guess it raises the question is, would we like to see Christian Bale return as Batman?
Yeah, that, you see, it's that whole...
I'm scared about it too, Ethan. I'm not sure what I
think. Yeah, you know, it's that whole, I'm trying to picture Henry Cavill Superman and Christian Bale Batman sitting there talking to each other, doing their thing, and I'm just like,
I don't have a problem with that. That I have no problem reconciling in my head.
Yeah,
that fine.
But there's that part of me that's like, you know, let someone else have a chance. Let, you know, bring someone else in. I want to see something new. But it's just that you know, Batman Begins, Dark Knight, and Dark Knight Rises just fits. Just were such a great little three picture universe. You know, it's like just. I personally would like that to be done, and that to be its perfect little thing, and not to keep going back to that.
Yeah.
And I think that there are other people out there that could do Batman justice and do Batman well opposite Henry Cavill and then keep going on. But I mean, like, okay, well, if they do this next movie, they offer him $50 million to play Batman. Well, what about the Justice League movie? I mean, are they going to pay him another $50 million?
I mean,
you know, I just don't see that. I just don't see that going on and on. You know, at some point, it's the whole Sean Connery. This is like, if this happens, this is the Diamonds Are Forever of Batman. You know, it's like they bring him in, and then what? They have to recast him anyway. Yeah. And I just think that they should just cut out that middleman. And it seems to me, if it is true that it's just them being scared, going, well, let's, you know, Dark Knight did $1 billion. Let's, you know, we want that kind of money. So obviously we need to get Christian Bale back. And it's like, no, guys, you don't need to do that. And so that's sort of where I'm sitting at right now.
I would be worried about the future if they did. If he came back for this, I'd be worried about what they do for a Justice League movie or future Batman movies or, mm-hmm. or whatever. But, you know, for the time being, you know, for like the self-contained thing, it would be kind of nice to not be throwing away everything that we have in the previous Batman movies. Or, you know what? What I would also be fine with, and this would be crazy controversial, but would be like, you know, get somebody else. It doesn't have to be Christian Bale. But just set it up as it's the same fucking universe. You know, the what happened in the Dark Knight trilogy did happen. And then, you know, bring in, I don't fucking know, like, I don't know, somebody, a contemporary of Christian Bale, and then be like, yeah, all this stuff happened. I fought Bane and, you know, Ra's al Ghul and et cetera. And then, you know, you could bring back Joseph Gordon-Levitt as, you know, as Nightwing or whatever. Or you could legitimize mm-hmm. him leaving and, you know, stuff like that. Because, you know, there were the little... Wayne Enterprises teasers in Man of Steel where you saw the logo on the satellite and shit like that. And it was the logo that was in The Dark Knight and the Dark mm-hmm. in the Nolan trilogy. So, again, I guess I don't really have a strong opinion of this. I mean, I liked Christian Bale as Batman just fine. I mean, I thought he was pretty good, but I didn't think he was anything, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be like letting go of Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man. You know, like that to me is a bad move. Mm-hmm. In terms of, I don't know, I guess I think that they could spend money better probably, but I also would like to see that legacy, you know, with upheld also. So I guess I'm just undecided on it. And I'm just happy to be here because it doesn't matter. I don't give a shit if they cast him or if they cast, you know, Tyler Hoechlin or if they cast, you know, fucking Orlando Bloom. I don't give a shit. I'm going to watch the fucking movie. So mm-hmm. just have to see what happens. So, those are my two cents.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's hard to say. It's hard to say which way I'd want them to go. Yeah. You know, whatever happens, but I just don't.
I'm not losing sleep over it.
No, neither am I. I would like to see, I think, you know, I don't know. I that's just it. I just don't know at this point.
Just have to see what happens, huh?
Yeah. But the Wayne Tech logo was in there. Yeah, that is a thing, you know. But well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, the Wayne Enterprises logo was on that satellite, and it was the same one that was used in the Dark Knight trilogy. But you know, that's also a fucking Easter egg, and you know, I guarantee you.
I mean, they also saw LexCorp tower.
That wasn't in Man of Steel. That wasn't in the Batman trilogy. But I don't know how this works, but I wouldn't be too damn surprised if Warner Brothers or whomever owns that logo. So, I mean, it's nothing saying that, you know, because Christian Bale isn't in it or because, they're rebooting, they can't just use the same logo. I mean, there'd be like a little bit of, you know, on-screen continuity would be nice to see. So
that would be true. That would be true. I mean, I'm excited for the next Man of Steel, and I'm excited to see where they go. I liked Man of Steel, good for all. You know, I'm excited to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so are we gonna break bad now?
Let's break this bad. Let's
break this bad.
Yes. All right. Well, you know, we sort of touched on it shortly just a bit ago, but we are both Aaron and I are very much enamored with a television show on AMC called Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is a television show that started in 2008 on AMC. Mm-hmm. And has been going ever since. It's currently in its fifth and final season. It stars, let me find the list, there we go. It stars Bryan Cranston, Anna Gunn, and Aaron Paul, amidst others. It's a television show following the character known as Walter White, a genius chemistry professor who basically finds out he's got terminal inoperable cancer, and so he decides, in order to pay for various things and to keep his pride intact, he starts cooking meth.
Yes.
Set in Albuquerque, New Mexico, his brother-in-law is Hank Schrader, agent with the DEA, which makes things obviously more complicated.
Indeed.
It goes from there. I mean, it's won several Primetime Emmy Awards. Bryan Cranston has won several Emmys. I believe also some Golden Globes, or has been nominated.
He's won Golden Globes.
And I mean, it's an amazing piece of television. In that you have this great writing, it's this perfect storm of great writing and great acting that just hits television every once in a while. And I, for one, I'm glad they're not beating a dead horse with it and making it go on for 10 years. I am sad to see it go, but I'm also glad that we're going to get, you know, five solid good seasons out of it that are just fantastic.
That's an important point there, because a lot of television shows, you know, like you said, they beat a dead horse and they stay longer than they should. Breaking Bad has not had a weak season, as far as I'm concerned. Every season has been solid. Every season has been interesting. Every season has been, you know, really good. And if they wanted to go on a couple of more seasons, I wouldn't be scared, because they haven't lost any quality whatsoever throughout. It's just a remarkably good show.
But I think it's one of those things that especially with where they're going with Walter White, is at some point you're going to, this character loses his, will he lose his humanity, and you will not want to watch him anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a huge
bastard in season 5.
We talked about the whole flipping the Heisenberg switch, really, and that happens in this show. Because, I mean, the show starts out, you have Bryan Cranston playing Walter White, who's, you know, not great with his family. His son probably idolizes his uncle a bit too much. He's not, you know, really a overbearing guy. He doesn't have, I mean, he's kind of spineless. He doesn't have much of a backbone. He's a guy who's really defeated, and then he finds out he's got this cancer. And stemming from that huge change in his life and different circumstances, these different situations hit him, he ends up basically cooking meth and teaming up with Jesse Pinkman, played by Aaron Paul, who's a great counterpart to him. The two work really well together. They're very loyal. They've developed this great loyalty with each other. And slowly over the course of these 5 years, you've watched this very likable, this very nice guy who, you know, it's like I was a high school teacher. I was bettering people. I was doing all this. And now he's just gone down this very dark road. And the problem is, I mean, it's that whole power corrupts and he's gone down this road and he just keeps going. It's reached a certain point where he's had chances to turn back and turn around, but he's just too far gone. It's really this different. You have Walter White and you have this Heisenberg persona that he comes up with. And this slowly you see the Walter White shrinking away and Heisenberg just completely taking over.
Yeah. I mean, there's like so many great Walter White moments that just they're just awful. I mean, like awful meaning like you feel so bad for him in the first couple of episodes. Maybe even the two that are coming to my mind like most readily are there's a moment when he's teaching chemistry and he's you know, they go to show that he's a fucking genius with it, and you know, he's even gone to say that, you know, before that he's a hugely overqualified high school chemistry teacher, and you know, they kind of, you know, do that. But you know, he's teaching and he's got this muted passion about it, because you know, he's teaching to these kids that don't give a shit, you know, they really don't care.
Yeah.
But you know, he's got so much passion for it that, you know, despite the fact that he's not putting, you know, all of his passion, all of his energy into it, he still can't change the fact that, you know, that, you know, he finds it to be, you know, pure magic, and he's doing all of his stuff when he's spraying the different chemicals and making the different colors in the burner. I mean, you got that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another moment that it doesn't really have a whole lot to do with, you know, anything other than the state that this guy's in, but it's I want to say it's either the first episode, second episode. He is he just found out he got cancer, and he comes home from the doctor, and he went and got a beer, and he's just kind of standing there, and his wife is talking to him, and she says, did you use the credit card at Staples last week for $14.22 or whatever? And he's just quiet. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, we needed ink or something like that, or paper. And then Skyler goes on this big long thing about, well, that's the card that we use for this and that and blah 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 and all these finances. And you could tell that he just doesn't care what she's saying. And you know, at the end he just like says, okay, you know, I mean, this is acting, and it proves that I'm not an actor. I mean, everything he brought into it. And it's also a visually remarkable scene, because it's something that they've talked an awful lot about, where they did a lot with colors, with like what the colors that the characters wear. Like when Walter starts out, he's wearing a lot of beige, he's wearing a lot of tan, and like in that scene, he's standing there in khakis and like a tan shirt, and he's just kind of, you know, melting into the background, and he's got his horrible little mustache that makes you want to scream. You either, you know, grow it or shave it off. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, he's just, you feel so bad for the guy, and then, I mean, he goes through this remarkable, remarkable arc. I mean, it's easily one of my favorite shows on television right now, and you know, I don't want to get too hyperbolic, but it's getting to the point where it might be like one of my favorite shows of all time. I mean, it's a really good show.
It's fantastic. I mean, you had this great interaction between him and his family and Skyler and Walter Jr. And they do a lot. It goes to the great writing of the show, is they don't tell you what happened to Walter Jr., but you get what happened to Walter Jr. There's that scene where he's sitting there talking to his class, right? Mm-hmm. And he's telling them about basically these different drugs and these different chemical formulas, and he sort of stares off a bit while he's explaining something, how it's like, well, if this drug is given to a pregnant woman, it's fine, but if this one, which is molecularly similar except for this small difference, it can cause these horrible birth defects.
Right.
And I get the impression that that's what happened with Skyler, and that's what happened with Walter Jr. And it's
really
it was that
considered,
and it was that. That was part of where what caused him to basically leave Grey Matter and do that thing is to basically he gave up so much for his family.
Yeah.
And they've been the most important thing in his life. And when he started cooking the meth, he sat down. It's like, I need to get, you know, $700,000 so I can pay this, yeah. you know, so I can have my family set up for when I die. But then he doesn't, then his cancer goes into remission and he's sitting there thinking, you know, he's sitting there going, okay, well, shit, I have a lot more time than I thought about. How much money can I get,
yeah.
you know? And it really has that sort of corruption to it where he's like, you know, I can get $1 million or hell, like, here's this thing. Here's your $1.2 million for your stuff. And he could just been done there. But one, shit keeps happening where his money goes away. And two, he just... basically stuck in this mindset and stuck in this head of this, it goes back to the Grey Matter thing. It's like, you know, I sold my share in this company for, you know, $4,000, $5,000, whatever it was. A couple months of rent. And now the company is worth billions of dollars. And the thing is that the people at Grey Matter, I mean, he had all these people who really respect him and offered to pay for his cancer treatment. You know, they're like, we'll do this for you. But Walter doesn't want to take that handout. He doesn't want to compromise
his arrogance. I mean, you know,
yeah.
we're saying all these good things about him, you know, to where, you know, he wants to take care of his family and he's smart and all this. But he has some serious character defects that are there from start, that are there from before he was a...
Which go from being these minor character flaws that make him make these bad decisions to basically taking over his whole life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think an important question is for anybody, but I'll just ask you specifically, but do you still sympathize with Walter White? And if not, when did you lose sympathy for him?
Less and less. I think really the big turning point for me was the Lilies of the Valley.
Yeah. That's the big one.
When you have that revelation of what he did, it's that hypocritical thing in him of he condemns Gus for basically using children for doing this, and he uses that to basically poke and prod at Jesse to say, you know, see how absolutely terrible this dude is. This is awful. He's terrible. Then he turns around and does the same thing to get Jesse back on his side. And slowly but surely, you see Walter basically decrying what Gus is and how much of a monster he is and how much he's becoming more like him.
Yeah, and at the same time, it's interesting to look at Gus to where, you know, he was pretty much operating silently before, you know, Walter showed up, and when he started mm-hmm. becoming a monster, it was because of the shit that he was doing in response to Walt. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. I'm never going to root for a drug dealer, but I think that Gus, you know, had a good operation before Walt came in and fucked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, I have no sympathy for Walt left. None. Zero. Whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I mean, the show gets harder to watch because he's just such an asshole. But it's funny to me that everybody likes to talk about, like, when they start losing sympathy, and they'll bring up the Lilies of the Valley, or they'll bring up when he allowed Jane to die and shit like that. Mm-hmm. For me...
That was a big moment when he allowed Jane to die, too.
It is.
I mean, that was...
It's a really big moment. But, you know, it still came earlier for me. Yeah, I think, and again, like I said, you know, to me, it's you do hear a lot of people like, you know, they lost Walt like when he allowed Jane to die, or like when he poisoned the kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but for me, it did come earlier. Yeah, there's two earlier points that always occur to me as just like, you know, what the fuck are you doing? The first moment, I don't remember which came first. I think it was. The first thing was when he was trying to find a way to, you know, to get his money to his family. And, you know, he's talking to Saul Goodman, who is a fucking fantastic character.
Oh, fuck yeah. We'll talk about him in a bit. I love Saul.
But he's talking about Saul, and he's all like, I have millions of dollars, and I have no way of getting it to my family. And he's like, you know, I feel awful because my son set up this website, you know, SaveWalterWhite.com, and Saul goes on and gets onto this internet, and he looks at the website, and says, look at that, it's got PayPal and everything. I'm looking at your answer right here. You know, we can funnel it in through here and your family get all the money. And he doesn't want to do that because he does not want his family to think that it was, you know, it was charity that helped him out. You know, he wants his family to know that it was him, you know, that saved him. So he's kind of got that built in arrogance there to where he could have given the fucking money to his family, you know, through this website and just not gotten the glory himself. And that should be enough. You know, because, you know, at this point, he just still doesn't know if he's going to live or if he's going to die. Mm-hmm. And all that shit's going on. So he's got that. He's just so arrogant right there.
Yeah.
And then the other part where I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Was the point after when Gus died and him and Marie and Skyler and Hank are having dinner. And Hank is talking about how he thinks he
oh, yeah.
And it was, you know, the Gail Bedecker and Walt's. Drunk, but I don't think he's as drunk as he made himself out to be later is my thing about it. And, you know, he's all like, you know, I looked through that notebook and that's not a genius. You know, he's like, that's just rote copying and it's boring and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you know, he's like, yeah. I don't think that you got
and
it.
And that bites him in the ass.
And it bites him in the ass. And it should have, because he should have just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I remember watching that part and my wife and I were sitting there. We both were like, Walt, shut the fuck up, dude.
Yeah. And so, you know, to me, you have those moments like Jane or with Brock. And yeah, those are bad things. But the things that make me want to tear my fucking hair out are the moments where he could walk away and he chooses to do something. I mean, the thing with Jane, it was horrible, but it probably would have happened if he weren't there anyway. Just,
yeah, sure.
I mean, it's a sin through an action. And then the thing with Brock, at least he didn't give him fucking ricin.
Right.
He could have given him ricin and killed his ass, but instead he gave him something that just made him sick so that he could talk to Jesse. I mean, I am not justifying that, but those are, you know, there's a reason behind it. I don't have to agree with the reasons, but for me, it's when he's doing these stupid, stupid things that are nothing else but feeding his ego. And it just makes me want to punch him in the face because he's just like, come on, dude. You know, you could have the DEA off your ass, but because, you know, he's calling somebody that's dead, that you defeated in every way possible, a better chemist than you, you have to reopen the goddamn investigation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What the fuck, Walter?
And that's been a running theme in the whole show, is his pride, is his arrogance that just won't let him leave it alone. It's, you know, he had an out. He didn't have to go into the whole meth business. He did one little batch. He's, you know, and that went really fucking poorly. You know, I mean, it's an amazing difference to see where he's at now and where he was at when he had to choke a dude to death with a bicycle lock, and how absolutely much of a clusterfuck the first three or four episodes of the show was because of it. And he's just like, fuck this. I'm not doing it again. I can't do it. And he has these other options presented to him to help him out, to get him to basically say, okay, dude, you could keep going your regular life. You don't have to do this shit. But it's because it's not him. It's because it's not his doing. He's like, I'm fucking not taking charity from these people. I left the company and all that shit. And it's just like, it's just amazing how to watch this man, destroy himself.
Yeah, just shoot himself in the foot. And I also think that I think that most people disagree with me, but I think that there's an interesting thing going on with the characters of Walt or the character of Jesse, to where I think that the show starts out with Walt is likable and Jesse is not.
Yes.
And I think that they switch places.
Oh, yes.
And I think by you haven't seen the newest episode yet, but I think, you know, I am just now starting to like Jesse as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got all of his moments, you know, to where, you know, he's got great fucking moments throughout the show. I think he's an interesting character, but, you know, like him as a person is only something that's recently coming up. I mean, when he's showing that he has integrity, like, you know, there's the great episode with Baby Spooge when he's taking care of the kid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great episode. And, you know, it's showing his compassion for kids. I mean, it's showing the way that he reacted when he had his girlfriend's brother shoot whatever the guy's name was that died. And then, you know, the whole thing going on with Brock. And then when the kid is shot on the motorcycle. And, you know, he's got this. He doesn't like it. He felt awful for shooting Gale. And, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, he started off as, you know, yo, what up? And I'm a thug, to where, you know, now he's got, you know, $5 million and he doesn't want to spend it because it's blood money. I mean, yeah. There's an interesting thing going on there. And, you know, now I'm starting to like Jesse as a person, not just a character. And, you know, Walt, I gave up on a long time ago. And, like, this final season is just all like, Jesus Christ. And he's such a fucking prick now. I mean, it's still fascinating to watch him, and I'm still glued to my seat, but I don't like Walter anymore. You know, pretty far from it. He's a mm-hmm. really, really, really bad person.
Well, their relationship is just a huge part of the show.
Oh, yeah.
And how dependent Walter is on Jesse, whether or not he admits it. You know, it's he has this idea, he has this in his head that he can't do this without Jesse.
Yeah.
And Jesse is like, dude, you fucking are doing way more than I fucking want to, and I want to get the fuck out of this shit.
Yeah.
But Walt won't let it go. And I think what sort of pops in my head, though, is Walt has taken this sort of a viewpoint of, well, looking at Jesse, seeing himself and going, well, if you walk away from this, you're fucking taking that $4,000 and leaving. You know, why settle for that when you can have so much more?
$5 million, you mean?
Well, no, it's what Walt did, is that he took the $4,000 and left. It's that same thing. It's like, why only settle for $5 million when you and leave? What the fuck? You know, I mean, you could have so much more. And it absolutely is, to me, this. He's looking at himself when at that age, and looking at basically looking in this sort of twisted mirror and going, I can save this kid.
Yeah.
But in saving him, he's just killing his fucking soul.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at the same time, you know, there's something charming and really sweet about the fact that that Jesse still calls him Mr. White.
Yes.
I love that about the character. I mm-hmm. love that about the character.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's a fantastic thing. Now, in terms of other characters on the show, I mean, we talked the shit out of Jesse and Walt, and
mm-hmm.
as we should. They're the two leads. Why don't we work our way down the list and talk about some of these other characters?
All right.
Like, who are some of your favorite characters, you know, that just stand out to you besides, you know, well, obviously Walt and Jesse are obvious.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, let's talk Hank real quick then.
Mm-hmm.
Hank is an interesting character. Hank starts off being this very cocky guy, but you quickly realize that he's very much has his wits about him. He knows what's going on, but you know, he goes through this. I'm this, you know, loudmouth jackass type of DEA agent, and then gets that job down in El Paso.
Yeah.
Goes to that fucking goes horribly. And he starts having panic attacks, gets shipped basically back up to here, back up to Albuquerque, and fails at this job. And dealing with his wife, I mean, there's obviously lots of problems there. But then he gets comfortable where he's at, and now has ended up being the boss of his office there.
Yep.
You know, he's really come this long way of basically being... Yeah. Basically going from this really kind of a juvenile jack-off to very much a smart dude in the course of series, you know, what is it, time frame of 2 years?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I think by the end of the show it's going to be 2 years, but, like, at mm-hmm. the point where it's at in the current run, it's only a little over a year.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's amazing all that shit's happened, you know, obviously, but... that he's made this progression, almost died. It's really the sort of rebirth with Hank. He went and he died. First he died, you know, emotionally because of the whole dude's head on a turtle and the death of the other agents.
Yeah.
And then he died. Then he got shot the shit all physically, and then now he's managed to rebuild all that. And it's really this sort of wake up of, wait a minute, there's more to this shit than just, you know, making beer in the garage. I need, you know, and he's a smart dude. He's very cognizant of his surroundings. He catches these things, which makes it that much more of a frustration when that he hadn't realized that Walter was this Heisenberg guy that he's been after for so long.
Yeah, that's a hell of a thing.
Yeah, that
that's a hell of a thing.
And that goes back to Walter fucking being a arrogant little son of a bitch keeping that book.
Exactly.
That fucking bit him in the ass.
Yep.
And now Hank is, Hank knows, Hank has it, and Hank is just an interesting character to me. I think he's obviously the closest we have to a hero of the to a hero in there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Now you haven't seen the newest episode.
I have not.
Now, if the other people who are listening to this haven't seen the newest episode and you don't want it to be spoiled, then you know, fast forward a little bit. But they actually do something crazy that I never would have fucking figured that they did, and it's awesome in the newest episode, because the last episode ended with Hank on the toilet and finding out that Walt is Heisenberg.
Yeah.
And that's how it ends, and then it opens right back up right at that point, right? And he walks out and tells Hank and Marie and everybody that he's not feeling well and that he needs to go. And so they go, and Hank kind of has a panic attack on the way home and like wrecks his car.
Mm-hmm.
And he he's fine and everything, but he starts calling into work. And so he starts looking into everything to try to confirm if it's Walt. And he completely fucking confirms that it's Walt. Completely confirms that it's Walt. And he's like, oh shit, what am I going to do? So then he goes back to Walt's house and he puts that tracer thing on Walt's car. And I'm trying to remember what it is. I think that Hank is just acting weird because he's not going into work and he's acting really strange around Walt. And Walt goes out to his car and he starts searching and he finds the thing. And so mm-hmm. he goes over and he confronts Walt or confronts
Hank
about it. And at first he just goes in, he's like, hey, how you doing? And blah, blah, blah. And Hank's all like, well, I'm about better, 24-hour bug, and I think I'll be okay tomorrow and that kind of stuff. And Walt's like, okay, well, I'll see you later. And then he goes to turn around, he's like, but, and he turns back around, I want to know what the hell this is doing on my car. And he holds it up to Hank. So I expected them to play that out a little bit, mm-hmm. to where Walt not knowing for an episode or, well, a couple of episodes, but by the end of the episode, it's on Front Street that Walt knows that Hank knows. And so
Walt knows that Hank knows. Hank knows that Walt knows.
Yeah. And so he goes and he shuts his garage door. Hank does, and he just punches Walt in the face. And he's all like, how could you? And like, you destroyed all these people's lives, and I got shot, and all this kind of stuff. And Walt stands up, and he's like, and he tells Hank that his cancer's back. And yeah. he is.
Going, I knew that. I knew that was coming.
You knew it was coming, and that. And they as far as I'm concerned, they spoiled it. They teased it at the end the beginning of the first episode of the fifth season when they showed future Walt with the hair and the beard and the Marc Maron glasses,
mm-hmm.
and they showed him buying the gun and he's taking pills. To me, that told me that he was back with the cancer.
But right.
Then there's there's another scene in that episode before he says it to Hank, where they show him in chemo,
mm-hmm.
and so it's pretty if they hadn't had that chemo scene, I'd be wondering if he was lying. But because they showed that, I'm pretty sure that he's back with the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something interesting that's going on there. It was a fucked up episode because like the way it ended was Hank says to Walt, okay, maybe we can work something out. You and Skyler bring the kids by and we're going to talk about this because, Walt's asking him to just, leave it alone, that he's not doing it anymore, that, he did it to pay for his family, but he's out of it now. And, he says that he's trying to beat this, but in all likelihood, there isn't going to be anybody to prosecute in 6 months. So, he thinks that he's going to be dead soon.
Mm-hmm.
And, and Hank says to him, he's like, bring the kids by. And Walt says, absolutely not. We're going to keep the kids and that kind of thing. And Hank says to him, it's like, well, I don't know who you are. I just don't know who you are anymore. And, you know, Walt just kind of looks at him and he's quiet. He's like, so if you don't know who I am anymore, don't you think maybe you ought to watch your step? And then it faded to black. That was the end of the episode.
Mm,
so you're like, oh my God, what is Jesus. Happening here? So yeah, it's like, it's right down to Walt threatening Hank.
Uh huh.
Oh my.
Fuck God. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's part of what makes his show so fucking good. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's just these relationships and these deterioration. Oh Jesus, wow. Okay, look forward to seeing that.
Now, is there any characters in the show that you don't like? Because I have two. One of them I get, one of them I don't get.
I don't like Skylar. I want to like smack her upside the head. She just annoys the shit out of me.
She's a very conflicted character. She's annoying, and I kind of get what she's doing, but at the same time, you know, she's not the greatest character, but I completely get her motivations. I get it. You know, she does stupid shit sometimes, but so does Walt. And it's also kind of interesting, you know, if you want to look at like a, she's almost like, what's her name? Tony Soprano's wife, Carmella.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like her if Carmella was actually involved in the business.
Right.
So, you know, you have that angle with Skylar to where she's actually, you know, she's in on it and she's, you know, threatening people and that kind of stuff now. And you have that going on. Now, me, I don't like Marie at all.
Oh, Marie, yeah.
I don't think you're supposed to. She does have these moments to where you're supposed to like her, I think. Like when she jerked off Hank in the hospital. Or she's going to have those little moments where you're supposed to like him. I just really don't like her. She's very false. She's very selfish. She's very arrogant. She's just a bad person. I don't like her. But the weird character to me that I don't like is I don't like Walt Jr. I hate Walt Jr. I hate that kid.
Okay.
And I don't really know why. I've tried to explain it before that basically I think he's boring. I mean, he's boring and he's I don't like the look on his face when he's talking, and you know, it's probably a personal thing, but I don't like him, you know, because he's just, you know, he's boring and he's stereotypical and that kind of stuff. I do expect something bad to happen to him by the end of the show. I actually think he's going to get hurt in this car. I really think that something like that's going to happen.
And right.
I wouldn't hurt my feelings anymore. But, yeah, those are some characters that I don't like. Now, in terms of characters that I like a lot are, but, you know, I don't, whether they earned it or not, I don't know. But I love Saul Goodman. He is such a...
Oh, fuck yes.
Bob Odenkirk.
All right. I fucking love Saul. Saul showed up in the second season, I think, as Better Call Saul, you know, and a fucking sleazy ass, but likable used car salesman motherfucker. I love Saul. Saul is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're talking about doing a spinoff show, Better Call Saul, with, with everything. And fuck, I would be on that fucking... I would watch the shit out of that show.
Me too.
But everything with Saul... I mean, there's several sections in the show where after you meet him and whatnot, my initial instinct, like, fucking starting, like, season three, I'm like, call Saul.
Yep, exactly.
Something's fucked up, call Saul.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit if it's, you know, if it's my car's got a flat tire, fucking call Saul.
Hell yeah. I some of the things that I like about him is I just like how he's obviously intimidated by Walt, but at the same time, he's got moments where he's not, and it's awesome. Like after Skylar tried to make him take back the car and he destroyed it, and he's like, and he's talking to Walt in the office, and he's all like, okay, so he's like, all right, so I talked to him, and I've since you technically bought the car, then we're gonna just get it down to, you know, like a burning trash charge, and we're gonna have to bring in a power washer and the tow fees and all together, your little joyride cost you about $53,000. Was it worth it? I just love shit like that where he's just openly antagonistic to Walt, and Walt's just like, you fucking sleazebag. I think that Jesse has one of the best. Saul lines ever. I think it's Badger got arrested and he called Saul and Walt's like that sleazy guy you see on all the bus benches. Like, no, you don't get it. He's the kind of guy that you want. You don't want a criminal lawyer. You want a criminal lawyer.
Yeah.
Just like, hell yeah, that's Saul for you.
Yep.
You gotta love Saul. I like Saul. I like Skinny Pete and Badger quite a bit. I love Jesus Christ. You really need to watch the newest episode because they have this great Star Trek conversation.
Oh yeah. Well, with Skinny Pete, one of the most recent ones of where he's playing the piano, where he and Badger go to a music place to get the crates. For the equipment, the roadie equipment, and there's that just very brief section there where Skinny Pete is just standing there, and he's at that piano, and he starts playing just this absolutely gorgeous piece.
Yeah,
you know, and he turns, and you know, Badger then fucks it up by jamming on an idiot guitar because he can't play worse shit. But it's like it's an amazing little glimpse into this guy is that he can play this gorgeous, beautiful music, yet he's a meth addict, and that's fucked up his life. But it's like I really liked how they did that. It was really, really poignant, and it really did a lot. That just that little 3 seconds of film really endeared him much more to me.
Yeah,
And Badger just cracks me the fuck up. Really,
I want Badger and Skinny Pete in Better Call Saul.
Yeah,
I want them to kind of be his little, you know, his little mooks that he makes do shit for him.
Yes,
I like those characters quite a bit. Now, what did you think about the Gus story?
Gus Fring, basically shows up. He's very clean cut, very proper criminal that you wouldn't suspect, type of thing. Yeah. And where he ends up, an interesting character, with his, you know, background as far as from down in Mexico and his story of revenge and all that, and he gets his revenge and only to be turned, you know, have Walt fuck it all up and you know, kill him. You know, what do you think of Gus? I want to hear what you have to say about him.
First off, do you know that actor, right?
Yeah.
He was in fucking Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
I fucking love him. Giancarlo Espinosa, great actor. I thought it was a great story, and I think that it was a good season, and I think that he's the only character on the show that's smarter than Walt, and he is clearly smarter than Walt. He's a step ahead of them, you know, every point of the way. And like when the show and by the way, holy shit, when he dies.
Yeah. Right up, well, and I would agree with you. He's completely smarter than Walt until Walt figures out his little foible, his little vice. And that's
he's got to go fuck with Hector.
Got to go fuck with Hector. And he's just basically, he figures that out, goes to Hector, and, you know, Hector fucking hates the shit out of Walt, he hates the shit more out of Gus. And Walt knows this and uses that, and that's how he gets Gus. And it's just that the little tiny character flaw that he has.
Yeah. And speaking, you know, I don't know how much I could say about it, but I also love the character of Hector. I thought that was such an interesting character, and, you know, he had a stroke, he couldn't speak, he just used the bell to communicate, and I first thought that's a beautiful payoff with the bell in the end of the series.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful payoff, where, like, that bell, it just comes to mean dread in that series. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, you hear ding, like yes or no, and they did really good things with it. And then when he's sitting there talking to Gus goes in to talk to him. He's like, Hector, look at me. And he looks at him. He's looking all angry. And you hear the bell, and it's going tink, 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 tink. And it's not dinging. You're like, what the fuck is going on there? And then I think the audience understands it just as quickly as Gus does that something's up. Gus stands up, and then, you know, it blows up, and it kills obviously kills Hector because he's got a bomb in his wheelchair. But then, you know, despite everything, you see Gus stand up and walk out of the room. And I don't know what you were thinking at that moment. I don't know.
Yeah, it was that. I think, what the fuck?
That's a tough motherfucker. And then you see those nurses run up and they just gasp. And you're like, what? What? And then they pan around and you see that half of his fucking face is gone and he drops dead. I mean, that was a what the fuck moment. I mean, that was an awesome television moment. I mean,
mm-hmm.
wow. I really liked him. I liked that series because I actually liked Gus. And I do think that it was Walt that fucked everything up. Not
oh,
Gus.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It was total Walt.
You know, Gus was a scary dude. I mean, that just goes without saying. It's, I mean, just that whole start of, I want to say it was season 3, where Gus walks in, or they've killed Gale. They're sitting in there, and Walter is just trying to basically beg for his life. He's just trying. He's doing all this. Gus says fucking nothing. Walks in quietly, takes stuff off, puts the thing up. I mean, it's like stretched, elongated scene. It's brutally stretched out, and then he kills the dude. Still doesn't say a fucking thing. Goes back, changes, and leaves. And it's just like, yeah, it says get back to work. And it's like, wow, you know, it's just like in get back to work. You know, 4 words. This guy gets his point across, and it just shows you like, if he's willing to do this, what other shit has he done to get to his position now? You know, and
they show some of it.
Yeah, then they show some of it.
Like the whole thing with, was it Don Salamanca? I don't remember the guy, but the guy that where he poisons himself and everybody else.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, that was a hell of a moment, too. Yeah, absolutely.
What he does for his revenge, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great moment. And then how about Mike Ehrmantraut? What do you think?
Mike Ehrmantraut. I fucking loved Mike. It was sad to see him go.
Not surprising, but sad.
No, not surprised. I knew it was going to happen at some point, given how loyal he was to Gus, and really, because he was doing stuff that just, he was doing stuff that went right against what Walt didn't want to do. Really, it comes down to he was paying those 9 guys to keep quiet, and you know, Walt's looking at like, this is my money. I'm paying my money for these fuckers to basically do jack shit.
It's because you killed Jesse James doesn't make you want Jesse James.
Yeah, and I fucking loved Mike. He has great. It was really his great one-liners. His great attitude of you know, it's like, well, I'm gonna fucking kill him. And where he goes after the German lady, you know, it's like, nice. I love
Lydia.
This. Lydia, yes.
Yeah.
Mike is awesome. He's one of those actors, those character actors. He's got a great look
Jonathan
to him.
Banks.
Jonathan Banks, yeah. And you see him in other shit, and he does comedy.
Yeah,
and you're like,
Airplane.
Yeah, he was in Airplane. He was in an episode of Parks and Recreation. He's a scary looking dude, but it's just like, as Mike, he's really likable because he's one of those guys you fucking want on your side. And you know, just the way he goes is just so, fuck, man, Walt, you're a lucky son of a bitch sometimes. And oh, that whole business, and he just wanted to get out, basically, you know, be with his granddaughter, that sort of thing, and Walt had to fuck that up.
Yeah. And that's like one of those things about the show that it just kind of got those moments where you're just, it makes you sick to your stomach. And you know that, you know damn well that Mike's going to die. I mean, he's the muscle for the previous boss. You know he's going out. But then you grow to love the character, and then he literally dies for nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Because, you know, Walt shoots him because he wouldn't give him the list of names. But he could have gotten the names from Lydia. And he, in the very next episode, he gets the names from Lydia and he kills those motherfuckers. So he kills Mike mm-hmm. for no reason whatsoever. And that's just an awful, awful moment. You know, I like the character of Mike quite a bit.
Yeah.
Now, I guess we can wrap up this conversation, but... Mm-hmm. You have where do you see this show going? How do you expect it to end?
Oh man, the show has thrown so many curves at me that you know I. The Walter's cancer is back, you know, and if they're going along those lines of Mr. Chips to Scarface, I see Walt dying at the end. But I see a lot of bad shit happening in the meantime, you know. I mean, something obviously happens, which grows his hair back out, and he's just fucking looks defeat. I mean, he's obviously more defeated guy.
Yeah.
I think it'll come down to
all this shit that you haven't seen yet because of one episode.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You know that. You know the first scene of the new season where he's in the diner and he buys the
The M60. Yeah.
He buys the M60, right? And you know that time frame. It's on his 52nd birthday.
Okay? Yeah.
So it's about a year after where we're at currently in the show. Mm-hmm. So that happens. Episode, I guess it'd be 9. So it'd be the newest episode, the first one that aired last week, opens up with, I guess I'm just going to explain it to you how it unfolds. It opens up to some kids skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You just see these kids skateboarding and, and it shows like the boards and then like, there's like this great pull shot where they're slowly pulling out and you see these kids skateboarding. And you see that they're kind of skateboarding in like, it looks like kind of like a skate park kind of thing. And then it keeps coming out, and then you realize you're looking at a swimming pool, an empty swimming pool. And then the camera pulls back even more, and it shows that it's Walt's house.
Mm-hmm.
And the windows are boarded up, and there's a crime scene tape all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just, it looks like a dilapidated house in the middle of, like, Walt's neighborhood. It's a nice neighborhood. Dead lawn and all this shit, and it's got a gate up around it, and so it pulls out, and then you see a car pull up, and it's like this shitty red car, and then future Walt steps out again, and then he goes over to the gate, and he pulls out some bolt cutters, and he cuts a chain, and he goes inside, and like the inside is just fucking trashed. I mean, mm-hmm. there's crap everywhere, and he walks into the living room and looks at the wall, and Heisenberg is spray painted on the wall,
mm-hmm.
and so he's just kind of standing there, and he's just kind of looking around, and then he walks into his bedroom and reaches into his pocket and pulls out a dime or whatever, and he goes down to the socket and he unscrews it and he pulls out the ricin. Puts it in his pocket, and he walks out to his car, and he's looking around, and his neighbor lady's standing there, and she's carrying groceries or something like that, and then he's like, "Hello, Carol," and she drops the groceries and runs inside. So, that leads you to know a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
It lets you know that the jig's up on Walter. People fucking know that Walter and Heisenberg are the same people. It's reached his, his domesticated neighbors and stuff like that. And, it's a hell of a thing. And, last week on Talking Bad, they asked Vince Gilligan, what is he going to go to the, what did he go to get the ricin for? And he says, I'm not going to tell you, but I'll say this about it. He's getting it for the same reason that he got the M60. And but what does that mean? To kill somebody. So just that shit is just driving me nuts. Because like I loved how they opened up that. I loved how they opened with the future Walt, and I love how they didn't do anything with it for 8 episodes, and then they did it again. I mean, it's just another thing that I loved about the show is I love the openers. I always love the openers.
Mm-hmm.
You had all that great shit going on in the second season, where they just showed the car bouncing, and you're like, what the fuck is going on here? Or you had the whole thing going on with the twins, where they would just show them doing weird things, where they're walking or they're killing those people. And it's nuts. I mean, it's a fantastic show. I think I've watched the series 4 times now. It's just such a good show. Do you have any particular favorite episodes?
Oh, geez.
Or even favorite moments. I'll give you favorite moments.
Man.
That might be easier than episodes.
It's the whole show is a bit overwhelming as far as good it is, and it's just hard to point at things. In recent episodes, it's a very brief moment. The series is shot fucking gorgeously.
Yeah.
The talent, the people they have working on the show is just amazing. And there's one One very brief shot in one of the late episodes of the first half of the fifth season, mm-hmm. Where you see the camera just shows it's the first scene like from back from a commercial or from a scene change, and the camera sits there and it's showing you the Heisenberg hat, you know, the hat, right? Mm-hmm. And it's sitting next to the baby monitor.
Yeah.
And
nice shot.
And it just lingers there for a second, and that shot alone just said so much. It was just like, wow, because that hat is it symbolizes obviously the Heisenberg persona. It's that it's that thing, and how it's looming, and it's sitting in front of the baby monitor. It's looming in front of it. It's almost you can't look. You see one, that's his family life. That's his quote unquote work life, and it's just such a well done shot in that you're looking at it going, I get it, you know. It's like there's this, that it's family, it's small, becoming smaller, diminutive. This Heisenberg thing is just overwhelming everything. It's taking over, and it's bits like that that I love. The scene really. One of my absolute favorite episodes has to be the Spooge's kid episode.
It's a good episode.
It's pretty much just all Jesse. I think you go see Walt a few times in that episode, but that episode is 99% Jesse.
Oh yeah.
And that whole business really encapsulates sort of what happens with what happens with Walt and their criminal enterprises. They fucking get lucky.
Oh yeah,
and how in over their head they are, and how absolutely Jesse is not cut out to be this big nasty drug dealer guy. He's not the guy for this job, and he's not ready. He's not willing to do what it takes to be that guy. But you find out obviously as the series goes on that Walter is the guy who's willing to do that. The reveal of the Lilies of the Valley thing completely fucking...
You didn't see that coming?
I
saw it coming, and like, God, I hope it wasn't Walt. But...
No, honestly, I'll be completely honest, it took me by surprise. It was just, I did not imagine that Walt had that in him.
Really?
And then that shit hit me, and I was like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess I believe there was a glimmer of hope in Walt's soul, but mm-hmm. and I it just didn't cross my mind that he would have done something like that, but I was hoping against hope, and they show those Lilies of the Valley at the end of the show, and it's just like pick my fucking jaw up off the floor.
I was kind of wondering earlier in the episode, then they had that reveal that to where they said that it wasn't Gus.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, oh God, it was Walt. There's no, how, why would Walt, no way Walt wouldn't do that. I'm like, oh fuck. Then I saw the scan after he was picking up all the shit. And like, as soon as it started scan, I'm like, it's going to go show the Lilies of the Valley. Don't show Lilies. Oh God, Walt, you son of a bitch. And,
yeah. You realize how absolutely soulless he has become and how horrible he is. And it's that realization. And it was a great way to end that season of you going, fuck you, Walter. Fuck you so much.
Yeah. I gotta say that some of my favorite episodes... I have too many favorite moments to count. I can probably nail it down to a couple of episodes. I loved the episode in this newest season with the train robbery.
The train robbery was so awesome. That yes.
So good.
Fucking so nail-biting. Yeah. You watch and you're so... Oh, and it's... I go back to movies like Godfather and things. Like, you give a shit about what happens to these horrible fucking characters. These characters who are evil and they're clearly breaking the law. They're bad, but you don't want them to get caught.
And they did a really good job in that setting it up to where you wanted them to succeed because they weren't hurting anybody.
Yeah.
They were taking 1,000 gallons and they were going to replace it with water. And,
no one was going to know. Yeah.
Yeah. Then it's going to be like, 4% diluted. And yes, they will notice. And so they are going to yell at China for, giving them a slightly less powerful.
Yeah.
And so they do a really good job showing that, it's nail biting, but it doesn't have like the same feelings as like when he's like trying to save his life, or when they went to go get Gale. It doesn't feel like it was life or death.
For me, it was nail biting to watch because I knew something was going to go wrong. Based on the show, I was waiting for something to go wrong, and it wasn't what I was expecting because I had forgotten about the fucking kid on the dirt bike.
Yeah. And then you hear the motor and you're like, oh no, is that, oh god, no, please don't. And then it gets even weirder because the other guy shoots him.
Yeah, the new guy.
Yeah, and you're like, what the fuck is going on here?
And before that, I'm like going, oh, they're going to fucking kill this dude. This dude is fucking putz. Yeah. He's an idiot. And then he does that and you're like, oh shit.
Oh god, he,
oh shit.
And then another favorite episode of mine, it was in season 4, I want to say. Yes, it was in season 4. It was called Fly. It was the episode when Jesse and
Aaron
were trying to get the fly.
Yes, that episode is fantastic.
And it was directed by Rian Johnson, the guy that did Looper and Brick and stuff like that. I've explained that episode to people like it reminded me of a Who Light episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, it wasn't dealing with the larger ramifications, everything that's going on with Gus and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it was actually just a, you know, I mean, it had definite pathos to it, but it was basically, you know, Walter being obsessive and Jesse being funny. I mean, that has some of the best ever Jesse moments in it.
Yeah,
when he's trying to sneak the stuff into the batch, and then Walt catches them, or when the fly is on the side of his face and he hits him. And,
yes.
Or like when he's all like. He's like, now, did you try our product or something? It just had great moments in it. And I fucking love that episode. It was so well directed. I also really liked the other episode that Rian Johnson directed. I honestly don't remember the episode, but it was the one that opened up with the car where he ended up finally sold his Aztec and he got his new car. Mm-hmm. And then him and Walt Jr. got the car. And that was a great scene. I mean, granted, it's got, you know, much larger ramifications, but the happiness of the moment was great because they drove home and, you know, Walt's got his Junior's got his PT Cruiser, which is a fine car for a 16-year-old. But, you know, he's got that car, and then Walt drives up and he revs his engine, and Junior's all like, eh. And then the next shot, they show him pulling up in his old Charger. And they have their rev off, and it was just a great – it was the last – I don't know. It might be like the last moment I really enjoyed Walt, even though I still kind of have it in my head that car is going to come back to fuck him.
Yeah.
I just keep thinking that, but I really enjoyed that moment. There's all kinds of great moments. I loved it when the DEA had Hector and he shit his pants instead of telling him anything.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great moment.
When Hector goes all the way back down to the DEA just to tell him to suck my and fuck you.
That was a great moment. That was awesome.
Before we get too far into the end here, I do want to mention the unsung hero, Junkyard Joe.
Junkyard Joe. I would watch a Junkyard Joe show.
I love that guy.
A junkyard lawyer. I love it. You know, they're pretty much fucked. They're in there, and then Joe comes out and saves the day.
I know. It's fucking awesome. And he's a genius. And he's a genius in his own right, you know?
Yeah, he's a junk genius. He's a junkyard genius. It's good shit. I love Junkyard. I mean, that's just it. It's like, there's so many characters in this show, and, you know, like you have, like, Hector, who doesn't... He speaks, like, a couple of words in flashbacks, and other than that, you know, he does all this stuff with his eyes. And you have, like, the deplorable smackheads, you know, when you have, be it Skinny Pete or Badger or the other guy, and, you know, you end up like those characters, or you have, you know, like, this poor little, you know... malnourished kid, you know, and Baby Spooge or the shitty lawyer or the you have all this great shit going on, and it's a fantastically well-written show. I mean, it's just such a good show, and I love it. I mean, that's why I did the Walter White for Halloween last year. I mean, I like this character enough to shave my fucking head, so I mean, that should go to tell you something right there. I mean, it's a good show. I love it.
Yeah, it's an amazing show. It's an amazing cast of people, and it's just one of those gems of television. you know, and totally has changed the way that I'm going to be watching TV, and it's makes me really want to sit down and pretty much watch all of the AMC shows. I need to watch some Mad Men. I actually just started watching watched the first episode of Hell on Wheels.
That's a good show too,
and it looks like it's going to be. It looks pretty good, and I really want to watch the new Mark Strong show. You know, I mean that.
Yeah, it's a good show. I watched one episode of it. It's not on. It's not on AMC, but another good show that you'd probably like a lot is Copper.
I want to see that one. Yeah,
that's on first season's on Netflix, I believe. So it's a good show. You should check that out too. So, yep. I think that's something that we're coming to where like the line between television and movies is kind of getting diminished. I mean, we have some awesome shows on television right now.
Yeah.
You know, be it Breaking Bad or Low Winter Sun or fucking Doctor Who or Sherlock or there's some really good shows on and. You know, if you want really good quality, you don't necessarily have to go to the movie theaters anymore, and that's a good thing.
Well, and you see, actors like Mark Strong, who have a pretty decent film career, he could be off doing movies. He's here doing a TV show at this stage in his career when, it's like classical thinking says, oh, well, he should be, he did the TV thing, and then he made a successful transition to movies, and now he's going to do movies. It's like, no, he's coming back and doing TV because... I mean that's a good place to be, and I'm happy with where TV is and where everything's going, and makes me there's a reason why I have a hugely growing section of television in my DVD and Blu-ray selection. So
yeah, hopefully Breaking Bad will be adding to that soon.
Oh yeah, I intend to get it as soon as finances allow. But
yeah, me too. I need to check out the Blu-rays. I rented all the DVDs because I didn't want to stream it and use up my bandwidth. Mm-hmm. But I rented all the DVDs and they don't have subtitles, and that was annoying. I need to check out the Blu-ray, see what they do. But it's all on Netflix. If you guys want to see this, all this stuff's on Netflix except for the newest episode.
Yeah.
And you can rent that on Amazon for $2.99, I think. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's good shit. It's good shit all around.
Fantastic stuff. And I guess that is us in our Breaking Bad and
it is.
Getting our bad on. Fantastic show. Check it out. If you haven't heard about it yet, you're living in a cave somewhere.
Kind of like Ethan, who now, like a year ago right now, was screaming at you to watch this
yes.
show. Because I remember...
And I did.
You did. And I'll never forget, there's a moment on this show where you're all like, and you shaved your head, so you look like that guy from Breaking Bad.
Yes.
I'm like, that guy from Breaking Bad, Walter motherfucking White!
Yes, that's Walter fucking White!
It's a great show, great character, and I'm glad you enjoy it.
So, oh, it's a fantastic show, fantastic.
Yep. And it's going to be sad to see it go, but...
It's
going to go out on top. And so fantastic.
It's going to go out before it gets stale or gets, just bad shit happens to it, and that's what makes me happy, at least, so...
Yep.
All right, well, I think that is it for our show this fine afternoon. Tune in next time where we're going to talk about something.
Something about stuff.
Something about stuff involving other stuff. So, thank you so much for listening.
Middle age ain't all the rage. Living in New Mexico. Educator life said, see you later. Cancer thinks you gotta go. Little Walter, don't you falter, he promised to provide. Then loudmouthed Hank made Walter think, and out came Mr. Hyde. It's Heisenberg, that's the word, ruling Albuquerque streets. It's Heisenberg, haven't you heard, his blue map can't be beat. Jesse Pinkman ain't no thinkman, but he sure could push crystal meth. Yo, yo, Mr. White, hey, that ain't right. You caused Sweet Jane's death. As business grew, everyone they knew, blue sky was the thing. Then comes Ermine Trout, so don't you shout to take you to Goss Spring. So long, Heisenberg, that's the word. Now you work for the cartel. No more Heisenberg, haven't you heard? Your marriage went to hell. Skylar's a bitch, friend's nickname won't stick. Hank still has no clue. The gift from Gale just derailed all you've tried to do. Ha! You won't stop till you're on top. Took care of Gus and Mike. Saul's got your back and Jesse cuts you slack, cause you're motherfucking Walter White. Oh look, it's Heisenberg. That's the word, he's back and he won't stop. Come off your Heisenberg, haven't you heard? The bad bald man's on top.
Now he's on the run, so much for the fun. You lost your laundry lab. Everyone you know now will have to go, or you'll be on the spell.
There's only one way you can end the day. Walter, by that gun. Jesse, get away. You know you can't stay. Looks like Hank and the DEA won. He was Heisenberg. Have you heard a legend round these parts? Remember Heisenberg? That's the word. His work, it was an art. I said his work, it was an art. Long live Heisenberg. Have you heard his story? It's not sad. Honor Heisenberg. That's the word. Good men are always brave.